laughter. I'm a very serious person, so you make me laugh is good. They say laughter doeth good like medicine in Proverbs. Yeah? They say in the Bible. Let me say that as medical truth. Some doctors here. Yeah. What you do, what you see here today, is something that I wish Singapore did 11 years ago. That was a time when I was still in corporate communications over in the Asia Pacific breweries. We look after Tiger and Heineken. Don't ask me the long story why I got into that. God directed me there. MediaCorp came to me and asked me, would you sponsor a program to develop the future producers and scriptwriters of Singapore? And I just wanted to do a one-day thing. And I said, this is not the way to produce producers or scriptwriters. And you know what? I proceeded to write a paper for them because I was concerned about developing that group of people in Singapore. We're really short of that. And I gave it to them. And the model that we do is very similar to what Chun Yen is doing together with the core team and with all of you. And I think you just brought it exactly to the point where it ought to be. And the better part and the best part is you got God with you. You got God with you. And it's powerful. You know, they like the idea so much, they asked me, because my boss refused to sponsor the program after I wrote the paper. They asked me, if Citibank takes it up, can they use your idea? I said, please, go ahead and bless Singapore. Later on, they wanted to offer me a job, but that's besides the point. Not Citibank, MediaCorp. But I'm here because I believe in what you do. And really, this is divinely appointed. Because why? Because I went to Jerusalem in early March, and I met many film directors, TV producers, and what have you, all similar genres to arts and media people, including, would you believe it, an international ballet star who gave up all the stardom to serve God. So this is it, you know. God was saying to me, Sam, you have forgotten. You know, Chun Yen, Penang, you better do something. So the next trip I went there, and there you are. Let me tell you, this is really divinely appointed, because right down to the last flight, to the last detail connecting flights, everything is just enough, just enough. So praise God, because you are precious enough. I was very tired, actually. Half my mind was like, should I go? And God said, go. So I'm excited. Let's pray. Father, we want to come before you this morning, Lord. I know you have an exciting and powerful message to pass to every one of them. And all the talents that you've given here this morning, Lord, surely you have a divine, eternal, and heavenly, and earthly purpose for all of them. And Father, I can see you escalating them. I can see them speaking to the nation. I can see them getting inspired, inspiring many others. I can see mass movements happening. Father, you make this happen from today, Lord. Let the yeast begin to work through the whole batch of dough, Lord. It's just a little bit of yeast can work through 60 pounds of dough. And so, Father, we proclaim that your kingdom, the seed of your kingdom has come upon us, and the seed we carry now is going to reach powerful and fertile soil that's going to bring 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold returns, because we're talking about the mass media. And so, Father, we ask, you speak, Lord, we listen, we will receive from you, and we will propagate what you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm excited. Look at that. God says, the altar of celebration. I didn't think about this thing, but God says to you, make your art, make your skill, your media an altar for me. And the theme has to be a perennial theme of celebration. Celebration can come in many forms. All right? Because there's too much bad news all over the place. There's too much doom and gloom. There's too much cursing. There's a lot of cursing, you know, out there in the films we see nowadays on TV programs. People glorify people jumping off the roof as though it's some glorified thing. They die. Finish. There's nothing glorified about that. So God wants to change the whole genre, the whole tonality, the whole outcome that is desired of that. That is what God wants to change. And it says here, you're a live wire feed to the nation. Many of you come from church backgrounds. Great. But do you know Whitney Houston and many of them came from gospel singer background and became international stars? Unfortunately, they ended up overdose of drugs and what have you. Okay, but in Whitney Houston's case, it was not simply just a case of overdose of drugs. She was standing up to the Illuminati, and that's why there were issues. All right, so today God wants to say to you, I'm raising you up, but your end must be anchored in me. Otherwise, you follow the path of Whitney Houston's and what have you. So did Michael Jackson, by the way. He sang in church last time. So I'm saying to you, do not stay in the cloister of your church. If God calls you out, come up Speak to the nation. Speak to the state that you are in. Speak to the areas that you are in, the district you are in. Speak to the community. Come out of the cloister of the church. Because media is meant to be mass. How many percent of Christians in Malaysia? How many? 10%. Is that mass? But you're not even reaching all the 10% of the Malaysians. So mass, okay, this is not a criticism. This is a challenge. This is an inspiration. This is to raise your eyes to see where you really can go and where God is calling you. All right? So here, you are alive by your feet. Life, and I mean every word I say here because God is speaking through this. It took me a short while to put this together, not because this is not important, because God speaks and I know it's powerful. And when He speaks, I don't have to prepare very much. Really. And the amazing thing was, like, the last time, I felt that I didn't have enough preparation. I felt that the insights were not deep enough. But when I delivered it, my friend Josephine said to me, Sam, you know, I've taught in Penang about 2-3 years. She said, this is your best. Nothing to me, all to God. Because when we are not, we don't think we're adequate, and that's when God becomes fully adequate. So when you are going to release a video and you think it's not adequate, you say, God, into your hands. I'm going to help you journey the God into your hands thing and make a multiplier exponential effect on the things that you do with your hands. All right? Oh, by the way, I want to congratulate all of you. I enjoyed all the stuff you did. And the song that you guys wrote, I just took off in the worship. You know, sometimes worship cannot take off. You try, then you get all those distracting thoughts like, where's lunch, you know, and all those things. Okay? To be honest, I had to SMS my wife and say, can you please pack this in my bag because I'm going to Jakarta. I couldn't pack all that just now because our Jetstar is overloaded. So I was juggling all those things, but when you sang, I stood up, boom, it went straight up. This is the spirit. And I love the violin part. My son plays the violin. My son plays the violin. I love the violin because I can play the violin. I tried last time. I played Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star with him. And one day he came to me, he said, Daddy, you're playing too slowly. I know it's time to hang up my bow. Okay, so this is Luma's vision. This is something Chun Yan is very familiar with because she wrote this thing, yeah? So in case you're wondering, where is this all this starting, where it came about? It's about lighting up media and the arts, linking up and mobilizing the artists to shine like a bright light, a beacon and a hub. Are they doing what they're doing? If they are, please go and tell the story, yeah? You got to evangelize this as well. This is not the gospel. But the method in which you propagate it, you can evangelize it because you can carry an evangelistic message within your art. Can you not? I will show you. There's so many channels that you can do. And thank God, okay, I haven't come to any accomplishment as a singer, although I conducted my church choir, a very small church. You know, we wrote scripts for sketches among the churches and things like that. My dream is to write a script and one day to do a documentary, hopefully. But I don't know whether I'm going to get there. Many of you are going to get there before me. But it's okay, as long as I get mine. Okay, access for the creative arts, channel for creative communications, environment for creative education. I think you're fulfilling this. But I want to say to you, when the prophetic comes upon you, when the divine inspiration comes on you, when you see the eternal purpose, you see, the biblical purpose behind what you do is no longer an incidental by the way expression of yourself. Some of you are multi-talented. That's great. But I will challenge you, whatever talents you have in your hand, ask God, what is your vision for me with my talent? Okay? I'm not a great pianist, but I used to play for Hokkien service in church. It was a struggle. And struggle. One day I said, God, I want you to inspire me so that I can play nicer. So he did, okay? But I'm still not lounge pianist standard, for sure. Okay, let's move on. I had to quote Mark Twain. How many of you read the story, Tom Sawyer? Okay, great, huh? So this is the author, Mark Twain, and he says, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you did not do than the things you did do. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sail. Do you need trade winds? You need the wind of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Catch the wind of the Holy Spirit. Throw off your bow lines. Your safety line. All of us need to feel safe. I must be familiar. Cut off that one. That's your umbilical cord. If the baby doesn't cut off the umbilical cord, he or she never leaves the mother's body and never grow. Both will die. Do you know that? If the umbilical cord is not cut, the baby and mother will die. So you need to cut the umbilical cord. I saw my wife deliver 3 of my children. I know what that means. I didn't faint. All right? So God says to you, explore, dream, and discover. But I will say to you, explore with God. Dream with God. Discover in God. I say in God. I explain to you why I say these things. Everything has a meaning there. When you explore with God, you are saying that I acknowledge you are the creator of everything and I'm exploring within the context of your creation. You know what it means? You're acknowledging God as a creator and God is so pleased to show you his creation. It's a relational thing. It's not just a detached artistic thing. Art is relational. All right. Just now, the song you sang, God just told me, you know, the whole of art is telling stories. What is the story you have? What is the story you have to tell? And you derive your sub stories from the main story of Jesus Christ, how he came down on earth, what God is doing for all creation. That is the main story. And out of the main story, so many sub themes and sub themes all come out, all avenues of your creation. Whether it's a song, whether it's a video, whether it's emotion and all those things that I'll explore with you, okay? Just now when I was taking out my computer, it's not because I was distracted. I was interacting with the things you guys are doing. I'm going to show you, you know, how you can interact in each layer of the thing that you do in your art. How God comes in and how God can blow that out of your mind. And I want to say here, a dream. Can you remember the story in the Garden of Eden? After God created Adam and Eve, and the animals. You know what God said to Adam? Before Eve. God brought Adam next to him and said, you name the animals one by one, yeah? You know what naming means? To name in the Hebrew perspective is to pronounce a character. How many of you are parents? When you name a child, you have a character you hope the child will achieve, right? A destiny. You hope the child will grow up to something. That is your dream. Your dream for the child. The character you wish to see. So when Adam was naming the animals, he was naming the character. He was co-creating with God. He did not create the animals, but he could co-create the characters of the animals with God. And in art, you are co-creating with God. Within his creation, you are co-creating new expressions. New versions of the stories, new segments to tell, new testimonies that you want to express. Yeah, and then you discover, because why? Where's the doctor? I was just shut. You're a doctor from nuclear medicine. Okay, I love to talk. I love to talk to doctors and researchers. You know why? Because God one day said to me, Sam, if you really want to solve the problems of the world, you must understand my design order, my design principles. We are designed according to a specific blueprint. The world is designed to a specific blueprint. Our emotions have a certain blueprint. And if you understand the blueprint, you get into the heart. Why is Shakespeare powerful? Because he understands human nature. And if you understand God's design principles, you'll be like Shakespeare. Will you not be? What makes us so sure that the Shakespeares of the world can only come from the West? I'm not racialistic, by the way. I just believe God is fair in his distribution. Okay? So, let's move on from here. This song, yeah? It's familiar. I took it off the website. I just cut and paste. Very easy for me. But I just want to highlight the words in red. I've been a prisoner and God's grace has set me free. This is one theme you can bring out into your field. Okay? You've been set free. In Isaiah 61, verses 1, I'm anointed to preach good news, the good news to the poor, to announce liberty for the captives. People listen to songs sometimes as an emotional outlet. But sometimes it's escapism. But the power you have with the gospel in your song is to set them free. That's different. Hey, shouldn't you be selling more CDs? Shouldn't you? Because you've got a liberty message. You don't have a soothsayer. You're not a soothsayer. You're a healer. Hallelujah. So now from today you write a song. So you say, I am a healer. I am a healer in God. And I understand the human nature and the human heart in God. And I will write the songs that will change the human soul. How about that? I tell you, you claim God and ask God to sell my CDs. It's not just the money. It is the reach. It is the healing. How about that? If you're a professional singer here, do that and ask God and be like a priest. Just say you're a singing priest. Okay? You're coming between God and the people who are listening to you, your listeners. All right? They don't have God, so you come between God and them and you bring God into their lives, so you're a singing priest or priestess. Okay? Now you got a trail to blaze. My friends, after you're familiar with the basics, don't stay in familiar territory all the time. Because art becomes predictable after a while. Then they call it cliche. Blasé. Okay? No, not blasé, it's blasé, blaze. God's amazing grace. You got amazing grace. So why are you talking about blasé things? It has to amaze. It has to amaze. Okay, I asked for a whiteboard, so I must do justice to justify the effort of a brother who helped me carry this thing here. Some time ago, God gave me a formula to do a communications a workshop. And this is actually an acronym. This is inspiring. This is masterful. Maybe you can use this formula too for your art. I don't realize. Whenever God gives something, I tell you it's amazing. It can be applied in any way, any field. P is for promising. A is for advocate. C is for compelling. Okay, and T is for trust. My friends, if your creation, video, song, animation can be inspiring, can be masterful because you understand the human condition of your audiences. You understand the hopes and the heartbreaks of your audiences. That is masterful. You understand how to turn them around. It's promising because you give them hope. You give them a new future. You carry the good news. Therefore, it can only be promising. Advocate is a powerful one because after they are so touched by you, they start telling about you. That's advocate. Isn't that evangelism? If your art can win advocates, you have no problem with fundraising. You have no problem filling up the chairs and the theaters and the rooms and the filming places, whatever. So get it right. You start from the source. You link from the source and you express the source and then you begin to tap the source for resourcing and for filling up your rooms. All right? And it says what? Compelling. Paul says, I'm compelled to preach the good news. When God's word come on you, I tell you, it's like, you don't say it, you get choked inside. Especially when you're prophetic, and the prophecy comes in, you don't say, you go back, you feel really lousy, absolutely lousy. And I think you're like prophets of art. When you have a creative impulse and inspiration, you don't expect, you feel very constipated, yeah? Too much constipation creates problem. Okay, so don't constipate yourself. Okay, express it, okay? Produce something, okay? And look at this glorious unknown. Now, the word glory, I want you to let just put a finger on the word glory, okay? Because I'm going to come back and explain why glory is so important to the arts, entertainment, and sports mountain. Hey, mind you, it's a great adventure. So those of you who feel a bit jaded, I'm doing the same thing, same out every time. Video work overnight when the rest are sleeping. Same famous story, yeah? I used to do that. Corporate video, boss said, tomorrow must finish. Ayo, got cam in the videographer's house. Worked here the whole night. Next morning, all the round circles on the eye, still must do MC. And look bright and cheerful. Okay. Hey, hello. Leave the long-faced religion in the cloud. So, if you have been a little bit long-faced, I understand. But when you're out there on the stage, when you're out there presenting your art, put it behind. Because there is this thing called resonance. Huh? You know resonance? As musicians, as performers, you got to grasp the power of resonance. Right? You have resonance, two tuning forks. Okay, they are tuned to the note of A, then it goes tung, right? Then you hit another one, and it goes tung. You know what happens after that? Tung. They Because the energy is multiplied. That's a power of resonance. So your art, if you can make people resonate with you, you have resonance, okay? In World War II, there's a story of a big body of soldiers who were crossing a bridge in World War II, and the general, halfway through, the bridge began to rumble, and the general who understood the principles of physics, he said, break your step. So all the soldiers were all marching, and they were all broke the step, otherwise the bridge would have come down. Walls of Jericho, 7 times round the city for 7 days. It is resonance, principles of resonance. After weakening the foundation, they gave a mighty shout. Resonance. But it is the God who made resonance, who commanded resonance. So in case you are a skeptic and say, so no more miracle. No. God can do a miracle in any way. After all, he made the laws of physics. Yeah? Who at that time knew how to do that? It's only from hindsight we know, yeah? So here, resonance. Create resonance with your audience. If you're a group, you're performing. Resonance between the instruments. Resonance between instruments and the singers. Okay? Resonance between the performers and the listeners. And if you have participative arts, even better. It's even more creative. Okay? So I like the idea of those flash mobs and all that, but flash mob can get a bit crazy, yeah? How about a celebratory flash mob? That's a different story. Okay, I'm going to throw some wild ideas at you. It may sound like wild, but I think actually it's from God, I believe. Okay. Who are you? You have heard this preached to you in church before, right? 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. Okay, God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Because one of the themes of Luma is light, because Luma is another word for light. You are playing with light and you're prophetic. No? Okay, you explain to them. Okay, that light is powerful. In the beginning, there was heaven and the earth, then there was darkness, and there was light. And God said, the first thing he said in creation is, let there be. So it must be important, right? That is a foundation of all creation, sun, light. So you carry the foundation of creation, the light, and you bring it into the world. That's powerful. This is what I mean by understanding design principles. The first thing God created was light. And you take this first principle into the art you do. It is very powerful, I assure you. Okay? Now, let me reinterpret this for you as artists, as media and arts people. You are chosen for your role on the arts, entertainment, and sports mountain. You are also a royal priesthood. Now, a royal priesthood means priests. Priests are people who stand between God and the people. Kings have authority. So, no la, me king, no la, no. Hey, hello, the Bible says so, you are a king. So if you deny that you are a royal priesthood, you are denying and say, God, you are wrong. But God is right. So you have authority as a royalty and priesthood. Now, you think about this. If you move in this identity, do you not think it makes a big difference to the things that come out of your creations? To the way you deliver your creations? To the way you market your creations? To the way you talk about your creations? This is the stature you should be all rising up to. Yeah? That you may declare the praises of him. It's not just about showing your power. The power comes from God. Therefore, you declare God's praises. All right? And therefore, call you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, light is not just chasing away darkness. If you do research, light actually comprises many colors of light, many forms of light, some visible, some not visible. Ultraviolet cannot be seen. Infrared cannot be seen. There's one light called far infrared. If you're in medical research, you recognize that. Far infrared light actually cures people, can cure. It can kill germs. Right, doctor? Okay, she nods her head. Okay, I must check. If you're a nuclear medicine, I better check. Don't you bluff? Okay. Now, once you are not a people, now you are people of God. You have not, once you have not received mercy, but you have received mercy. So now today when you read this, I want you to stand up in stature and say, I am royal priesthood. I am a royal priest called to the arts mountain to make a difference for my king. Whoa. Different, huh? Different. I remember in 18 years old, I had to go and do national service. We had to take an oath of allegiance to our nation and swear that we'd be soldiers and defend the country. You know, but when the weight of the defense of the country falls on you, never mind 18 years old, you take it quite seriously, lah. At least you try to fire a rifle a bit straighter, lah. Okay? Okay, how many of you heard of the Seven Mountains concept? Have you heard of it? How many? If you've not heard, it's okay. Don't be shy. How many of you heard? Raise your hand. Probably the core group, yeah? Thanks. Okay, no worries. I will explain to you. And then when you see this, you begin to understand, wow, God has called me into no small role. It is important to be humble. It is also important to recognize the role that you're called into. What are the seven mountains? Okay, you can see there, I just fleshed out for you, seven mountains of culture in a country, arts, entertainment, sports, family, religion, government, economy, media, education. Now this goes back. People in the church are talking about transform Malaysia. But the nation is big. You got to break down a big task into small tasks. And it came out of the prophetic circles in the United States when Richard Wagner and Cindy Jacobs were praying, and God says to transform your nation, US, and the nations, plural, around the world, you got to deal with the seven pillars of culture, and these are the seven. So my friends, you are on one mountain, the arts, entertainment, and sports mountain. And this is a powerful mountain because of the growing place of entertainment and the media in the world today. Today, how much money, if you have income, your income is X, how much of X goes to communications, IT, data, and all those things? A lot, no? In the old days, 20 years ago, very small amount. Very, very small. So you can see, just from the amount of money you spend on communications, already is telling you the power and pervasiveness of media. So the mountain you are on is not a sunset mountain. The mountain you are on is a sunrise mountain. And this sunrise will continue until the coming of Jesus Christ. Because why? The role of the media, social media, and the arts can only grow, not reduce. I say again, it can only grow. But then you say, is that the reality? As a Christian, I'm struggling. Well, maybe we should relook again. Because same like spiritual warfare, do you fight for spiritual victory? Last week, we were at Monday, last week in Penang, we were at a site dedication for a developer. So there are a lot of spiritual warfare. Not so many words. The areas surrounding were owned by the other party. And they're creating a lot of problems. And we said we will war. And then the pastor's wife said, no, we don't fight for victory. We fight from a position of victory. We just proclaim. Because who has won the victory for you? Absolutely. But you don't go and fight anymore. Because you go back and fight, you are giving the battle back to the enemy. Then the enemy is stronger than you. What happens? He overwhelms you. And then you lost. But Jesus already won. You say, ha ha ha, this guy's so silly. Gundu. I already lost. He gave me back the battle and the fight with me. And he can't win because why? I'm stronger than him. So the secret, my friends, is from the position of victory, Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected. When he resurrected, everything was won. You claim on that. How many of you watched the show C.S. Lewis? Narnia. Narnia. Aslan the lion represents who? Jesus, right? And the lion is powerful. But the lion doesn't fight all the time, right? He doesn't fight all the time. He doesn't pick the smaller than he doesn't. He chooses the time when all the enemies crowd around and then all people gabra already. Then he comes out. And then he just jump. Jesus is like that, right? He doesn't do every small thing. Sometimes he makes you kanchong a bit. Right? When you're anxious, you say, God, come here. Otherwise, you take God for granted. That's the idea, my friends. So, remember, Jesus is the big Aslan. Jesus is Aslan times infinity. Aslan is a representation. A lion is a small picture of Jesus. It's really a very small picture of Jesus. Really, Jesus is Aslan times infinity. Okay? So I write for you again in red. Alamak tak boleh. too big, the English also cannot come out. You know what the Hebrews say? God is so big, I cannot pronounce the full name of Jesus, of God, right? Yahweh, they don't write the vowel. Just excuse. Okay, Jesus equals to Aslan times infinity. Or whatever you see times infinity, whatever you want to conceptualize. Okay, so Jesus, how about this? I like this one. Equals my art, my creation, times infinity. How about that? I like this, you know. When you write it in simple mathematics, and by the way, I'm not a math whiz, it's very powerful. Let me tell you, I just divert a little bit. One day, God was telling me, over a series 2-3 weeks, he says, I'm going to teach you the infinity series. Oh, what's the infinity series? I'm no mathematician. He says, okay, I'll tell you what. Some of us, inferiority complex. I used to have inferiority complex. God was so good to me, he gave me a chance to go to the top school, but still got inferiority complex. Don't know how people are like that. Minus 10, minus 5, minus 1, 0, 1, 2, 3, 10, 100, 1,000. The egomaniacs will be here, lah. Okay? The people who don't know who they are will be here, lah. I don't know, where are you? Okay? There's us. But there's God. And God is a constant. What's the constant number? Huh? No. His constant is infinity. Okay? Yeah, his K. God's K is infinity. Okay, so for God, K equals infinity. Sorry, don't worry. I also not fantastic in math either. But this one you can understand. So God is infinity, whether it's here or here. So whether you're plus, minus 10 plus infinity equals how many? Infinity. 1,000 plus infinity equals how many? Still infinity. So no difference. So don't think that, God, I can give a special contribution to you. Can. He says, please, my son, I've gifted you. Actually, he come from me, you know. Okay? So, now, apply the Bible. I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. Make sense or not? Because got infinity, man. You're up against a lot of opposition. Cannot raise funds, not enough time, everything. My grace is sufficient for you. Infinity, man. Okay? So, today, whenever you're ridiculous deadlines, please just remember infinity, okay? But let me say something. If it's bad planning, don't blame God. Okay? If it's procrastination, don't blame God. I know, because inspired people, creative people like to procrastinate. They wait for the wave. The inspiration wave. Like, wait, get distracted, talk about other things, eat or sleep. Okay? Correct, all laugh. Okay, don't worry, I'm the same. Okay, so remember infinity, So maybe God is gracious, like I say, I know you procrastinate, never mind, I'll lend you some infinity. Some infinity. Because if he give you full infinity, you're overwhelmed. Really, that's a reality. If God gives us his full person, it's too much for us. We'll die. We're limited beings. Okay, so understand the nature of God, yeah? Understand the nature of God. Wow. Has this anything to do with my art? It has everything to do with art, because art is an expression of your experiences in life. Art is telling the story of what you have gone through in life, or what you see happening in people's life. Or some of us like to take the big picture, the summation of what we see happening in people's life, the summation of the stories we've seen, heard, experienced, feel, guessed, whatever it is, into it. Isn't it? It's a combination of all those. Right, so now coming back to here, why did I draw this mountain? Now everything we do in life has spiritual implications. So superstitious. But it's true, isn't it? Before the world was created, what existed? Only the Spirit. God and Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And who are the other spiritual beings? The angels. And who else? The fallen angels. Right? All Spirit. So Spirit started before flesh. Spirit started before creation. So if we understand the spirit realm, it's very powerful because it changes things in the physical realm. Remember the conversation that God had with Job? Poor thing, no, this good man. God went to boss to Job, to Satan, and said, look at my man, this man. He is a good man. And Satan says, wait, you strike him and see whether he will still bless you. poor thing. God started boasting and the man God started boiling and losing everything. Yeah. So everything starts from heaven. Huh? Poor thing, huh? But of course he got blessed. Huh? Okay, so understand the spiritual stronghold. Now, in the mountain, every mountain in society, there is a spiritual stronghold. There's a demonic presence, there has a demonic manifestation. In this case, it is compromise. And a story is told in the Bible. You know the Gibeonites? Joshua was asked to conquer 37 cities, and one of them was the Gibeonites, from the city of Gibeon. Now, Gibeon is a city of the Hivites. The Hivites are a people who live in Canaan. And one of the cities is called Gibeon, which was very near to where Joshua was. Remember the story they did? They tricked them. They went there with their horses, make their cakes moldy, make their clothes dirty and torn and dusty, and said, "We come from far away, and we've come to make peace with you." And Joshua, only thinking of fighting, he didn't realize they were actually next door neighbors. He said, "Okay, we make a treaty with you." And after that, they got tricked. He was supposed to destroy them. So what happened? The Hivites tricked them and Joshua into compromising. All right. So in the Arts Mountain, there's compromise, is it not? Many of the singers, when they want to go out, what happened? The directors, producers, and the backers will ask for special favors. It's compromise. Right. What about people who do animation? Okay. You do games. The icons and the symbols behind it. Many of it are satanic. The games, my sons do. Like Counter-Strike is a very old game, right? But I was shocked one day to listen and say that the enemy is the covenant people. Hello, in the Bible, who are the covenant people? You and me. So what is the game trying to do? Make enemy of God's people, make enemy of ourselves, make us fight among ourselves. Isn't it not? It's compromise. So if you're a programmer asked to do that and say, would you do that? That's compromise. I don't know if the Christians were involved in doing that particular game. I'm sure there are many other games in which some form of compromise was happening. So you say, if I don't compromise, how difficult? Yeah, it will be difficult. But remember, God is infinity. All right? But the counter, now remember, every satanic presence is already a defeated presence, but you need to do something as God's agent. You celebrate. Come on and celebrate. Celebrate. Okay, she should sing, not me, Malu, I sing in front of her. Okay. When you celebrate, you do the 180 degree opposite of what the devil tries to do, you defeat him. Do you know that? That's all it takes. 180 degrees. You bend, go closer to him, then he gets stronger and stronger. The further you turn away from him, the stronger you get, because you're God's child. Right, so many of times, in my personal journey with God, God will tell me to do the thing that I love to do. God says, do it. Somehow you do it. And it's victorious. So you do it. So you will be victorious. And the focus is on really the glory of Jesus. So glory is important. Because when the glory of God comes, what happens to the nation? Blessed, right? Breakthrough. Prosperity. Peace. Okay? Political development without corruption. You love that. I heard a lot of political themes just now. I can empathize with you. It's election time. Now, let me say to you, use your art, whatever you created, okay, speak it into the soul of the nation of Malaysia. All right? Now, when you release it into YouTube or whatever, tube or whatever, okay, whichever audience you show it to, you speak it into the soul of the nation, into the soul of the audiences, so they will resonate with you. Whoa, different, huh? Can you see you're raising God's army? They don't even need to fight. They just need to resonate with you. Because when they resonate with you, the spirits are declaring together with God, God's victory. And when that happens, victory happens in the country. I want to share with you a dream I had recently. I dreamt there was a political context, it was elections. Huh? I saw a big number, 53. Okay, I'm not pronouncing this a prophecy because I'm still checking with God. Okay, I saw the number 53 was a percentage of votes won. And it was not to Barisan Nasional. Okay, so you know who got the 53%. Okay, I'm not saying this is a prophecy, okay? But a few months in Penang, we prayed, and there was this word, change your government. So when you understand prophetic, what's moving? Now, 53, I'm not sure, okay? But change your government came out, okay? And now I'm talking to pastors, different people who are in the know, they think it's very possible. You want change? Use your heart. Use your heart. Speak to the nation. Declare into the spirit realm. Because Pakistan got a lot of money, but you got a lot of spirit. You got the best spirit you got, okay? And no amount of money can beat the spirit. No amount of money. Amen. So you won. Okay, let's see. Let's see how it goes from there. Okay, but participate. Don't just make an art. Don't just laugh about it. Don't just tell a funny story, entertaining story. Change things with your art. Your art is a battle axe. Okay. Acts 17:28. Now, this was said when Paul went to Athens, and he went to this hill called Areopagus. Now, on this hill, Areopagus, there was a temple with a lot of idols, all right? And among the idols, Paul saw one particular idol with the inscription, it says, to an unknown God. And Paul, seeing this, being the evangelist that he is, being the powerful theologian that he is, and also a very cultured man, he started preaching to them in a way that was not preached down, but preached up. Preach from within. What do I mean? He preached from within the Greek culture. All right? He says, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. Now, in your art, don't condemn people because they shut down to you straight away. So they were idolaters. In God's eyes, idolaters are to be punished. But Paul says, men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. Is it correct or wrong? Correct. Factually, it's correct. But Paul didn't say they're condemned. You just want to open their hearts. Okay, you're going to read Acts 17. Yeah, you're going to read it on time. There's no time for me to read the whole thing. But he quoted from the Greek poets. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. And some of your own poets, the Greek poets, okay, have said, we are his offspring. This was the time of the Roman Empire. But the dominant culture was still Greek at that time. Because the Greek intelligentsia continued to extend. The Romans were practical soldiers. If you look at the architecture of the Romans, it's tough, robust, but it's crude. In those days. You look at Greek architecture, it's more refined. Right? So he was quoting from the Greek poets. Do you know the artistic trends, the thoughts of different artists, writers, whatever it is, quote from there and bring them like the way Paul did, very masterfully. Very masterfully. All right. I asked God, what do you want to say to this group of people? So he had a few things to say, yeah? I sense God is saying to you what he's saying to the arts, entertainment, and sports mountain, release a celebration army. You are part of the army. The people you mobilize is part of the celebration army. In this mountain, okay, I'll give you the soft copy. Okay, so you have a celebration theme in art, entertainment, and sports forms. You know, if you look at Jewish culture, the whole year is full of celebration. Right? Unleavened bread, la, Passover, la, first fruits, la, you know, whatever, all sorts of celebration. I was thinking, why so free? I'm a practical man, Asian practical man, but God says, no. When you celebrate me, I am glorified. What happens when God is glorified? The nation is blessed. You are blessed. Your family is blessed. You know, we don't know how we work. Work we think is very good. Work is a curse. Huh? The ground was cursed. You know why God says keep the Sabbath? If you don't keep the Sabbath 7 days, you work. You're working with the ground, literally. Yeah, I mean, indirectly or otherwise. It means you're working with a cursed terrain. But on the seventh day, you rest. You break away from that cursed terrain. Whoa. Because God worked for 6 days, created the world. On the seventh day, he rested. Okay, and he saw that the world was good, and he blessed the seventh day. There's a special window of blessing. God can bless any time, but the seventh day is special. It's like extra gears, extra boost. So you want to take first gear, blessing is up to you, but God booster one you want or not. Okay, so God says, set up an altar, an arts altar. celebration worship. Now, years ago, I think 04 or 05, I went to an African country called Burundi. And God was good enough. I didn't know anybody, but he gave me an opportunity to talk to the president, literally the president in his house. Okay? And the rema was, build a church or chapel in the grounds of Parliament building. So that when the Parliament is discussing the policies of the land, there's spiritual cover. I don't think he did that, but I've done my work. If I go back the next time, I will ask Mr. President Pierre Nkurunziza, have you built it? Because if not, I'm going to find an architect for you. But you'll provide the money yourself. Okay, so celebration as edification. Celebration as warfare. Celebrating God in the high places. Now, where are the high places? Your Parliament House is the high place. The places of important decisions. The stock exchange is a high place. But stock exchange usually in the town center, right? It's a civic district area. I go down there and you just have a dancing thing and then you don't know what's going on. Actually, you're prophetically declaring, oh, celebrating God there. You speak in tongues, huh? Nobody can say what. Huh? You pray prayer, what happened? My friends in Penang, Kena. They pray prayer to bless Malaysia and what happened? The Moor and reported to government say they want to make Christianity the national religion of Malaysia. Pray in tongues, huh? Who understands you? Okay? You pray in tongues is even more powerful because it's moving in the spirit realm. How many of you can pray in tongues? Great. Those who cannot, later we impart. So all of you do that. All right. Celebrate me in the high places. So from there on here, instead of having flash mobs, how about doing, in Singapore we have this thing, bringing the arts to the heartlands. It means the public housing areas. So SSO, Singapore Symphonic Orchestra, will send a small team to go to the Bedok town and start to perform there. Bring it to them instead of making them come to the theater. You can do the same. That's exposure for you, isn't it? Right? That's recruitment opportunity as well. Right? Encouraging community celebration. I will explain more about this. In Israel, the whole of the nation celebrates. Supposed to. Today they don't. Okay? Inclusive arts. Not talking about fringe values as in LGBT issues. That is not inclusive. That is destructive. All right, inclusive is all sectors of society, not talking about sexual orientation or attitudes towards sin. That means regardless of faith or economic or social criteria. Okay, not sin or sexual orientation, different story. Huh? Okay, you like to use the word plug-in. Okay, so this is my interactive part. Now, I was looking at your videos and listening to your songs and things like that. Now, these are the areas in which you can actually build God in and have a dialogue with God. Say, how many of you, the teams, before you started doing your stuff, say, God, inspire us? Don't be shy. You just did it along the way. Okay, I encourage you from now on, before you start anything, do that. Invite God. I know that's important to have spontaneity in art. But if God is the creation of all intelligence, if God is source of all wisdom, if God is the source of all creativity, by the way, in heaven is music all the way for eternity. So you think there's spiritual ideas there or not? I mean, music ideas, plenty. For eternity, you know. And don't get bored, one. Okay, so in the dialogue of a video, in the visuals that you use, can you visualize God into the picture? Can you write themes of celebration, of victory, of edification? Can you write biblical themes without using the biblical words? You can. My wife teaches in school, and one of her colleagues actually tells the story of Paul and Peter. And he says, there's a man called Peter, and he tells him, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He didn't say 1 Peter, whatever, but he didn't say that. He just said, there's a man called Peter, and he did this, and there's a moral story behind it. How about that? You don't need to place the context because the Spirit is able to reach. Spirit to Spirit. Okay? The Spirit transcends time, space, and understanding. So a Muslim may not know everything about the background of the Bible. But you tell something in the Spirit, as in literally a story in the Bible, there is spiritual transference. It works. Don't have to worry about Sharia court chasing you, ulama coming after you. Okay? Use the Spirit. Very powerful. Okay, your music, your sequencing, your secondary imagery. Nowadays, you use all layers of imagery, right? Okay, now subliminal advertising. Why does it have to go to the devil? My client was Heineken. They use subliminal advertising too. I was also a bit worried. Okay? I have no say in the advertisements. I only manage the crisis with them. Their crisis, if they have a crisis. So, can you use subliminal messages? If your subliminal messages are meant to build up, encourage, and heal, is there anything wrong with it? God is very happy with you. So use it. Subliminal is very, very powerful. Okay, I am a student of psychology. I never did a psychology degree. But God gave me the opportunity to lecture in psychology. Don't ask me how. It gives you an intuitive understanding. And I assure you, you start moving in that realm, God will give you an intuitive understanding of human psychology. Your art becomes very powerful. Most artists, most writers, most creative people have some intuitive field of psychology. The stronger it is, the better empathy you can create with your audiences and resonance. Backgrounds. Can also use what? Backgrounds, all sorts, huh? Don't always have to be cross, lah. can be love, can be redemption, can be freedom, right? Use your creativity. So you got a lot of layers. Can you see a lot of opportunities to design God in the picture? I once had a conversation with a town planner. She actually planned Pasir Ris Town and Tampines Town in Singapore. So she's an architect. And we talked about developing a city in another nation, a third world nation. After we talked about, she got very excited. She said, Sam, yeah. We will design God into the center of the city. Hallelujah. So you design God into your music. Design God into your art. Into your layers of your video. Whoa, I didn't know that. Okay, design. If you're in design, the icons you use, the symbolism, the colors, the layers. By the way, colors have prophetic implications, yeah? Okay, go and read, go and do research. I can't tell you all the details. You go and research about prophetic colors or what the colors means. All right? Shapes, 2D and 3D. You think you got plenty of opportunity even doing a project. Ian, are you here? Ian, yeah, you're doing project for government, right? A Muslim, right? Cannot. Okay, never mind. You design a second layer, third layer inside. I cannot see. Hey, then they say, hey, bagus, Kali, bagus. Some more I give you. I say prophetically, okay, it happened, okay? Okay. All right, motion graphics, you're kidding. Now, being a guy, I stayed away from dance for a long time. I never really appreciated it. It's not like I'm a great dancer. La. But I realized the transformation when, again, last Monday, we did this site dedication. And I asked one of the ladies, Josephine, to take a multicolor flag and wave, waving, welcoming the presence of God. And guess what? After that, I took it from her. I did that. And Josephine said, it doesn't look like you. I'm happy. We can't declare the presence of God in front of all these Muslims. They come by the bikes, they're very hostile. We just wave, hello, God bless you. She says, salam. It's okay to say salam. It's okay. It means peace, right? In their language as well. Instead of saying shalom. Yeah. Okay, so here, again, you have the nature of kinesthetics. Movements can be sudden, forceful, which is warfare, or very gentle, healing, soothing. Okay, it's up to you. Can you see the possibilities? A lot of possibilities there. Okay, again, 2D, 3D layers, you can build things in as well. Musicianship, I love this one. Okay, I'm no musician, but God gave me an opportunity to take music for O-levels in secondary four. So we had to analyze Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, first movement. And talk about dialogue between instruments and blah, 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 blah. I was struggling because I was like the most junior. Everybody was like grade 6, grade 7, grade 8, LRSM, diploma, everything. I was grade 5. I was struggling. I was lost. But I tell you, I loved it. I loved it. Why? My teacher just told me one thing. Sam, close your eyes. Forget about everything. Enjoy it. I thought I would fail. I got a B3. La. I think I could have got 2 if I answered one question correctly. La. To me, I'm happy because I was struggling. I thought I would fail. Okay. I actually went to a private tutor. His name is called Victor Doggett. And he refused to accept me because he thinks I'll be a risk to him. Who cares? And God puts that love in you. You understand the music. You may be no music conductor, but you appreciate the depth of the music. All right, here. Your mood, your dynamics, your pauses. God tell me, pauses are powerful. When you pause in the music, God can talk. Whoa. That's interaction between you and heaven and the audience. So you do your video, don't pump all the time, pop, 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 because people like high density visuals now, right? Everything is high density. Hey, wait, you must give God to talk. Many of us wonder, how come I can't hear God talk? You know why God will say to you? Because you talk all the time. Either you're talking all the time, or you're plugged onto something else except me. This is something God said to me. Tell your children. He said, told me, tell your children. In your generation, you're plugged into many things at one time. Normal, right? But there must be one channel that's protected and never unplugged, and that's the channel to God. That's what you must do. Your channel to God, the plug must be doubly, triply big for that one. Okay? Not 64-bit. 128, 516, or 1 gig, better still. Okay? Don't give a low-speed USB there, because it will choke, because everything is moving so fast. Your plug to God must be the biggest plug. That's the source for everything, whether it's art, examinations, career, whatever it is. That's the biggest plug you must have. All right, so here, your tonal quality, your dialogue with the instruments. All this, look at this. These are a lot of space and opportunities for you to tell God's story. To show who God is to the people. I tell you, the Muslims will understand this. You know why? Because their Allah is so great and transcendent, he doesn't care about his people. No, really. The Muslim, when he dies, there's no guarantee he goes to heaven. You know that or not? There is a spirit of orphanhood in Islam because it comes from Ishmael. Ishmael was the rejected son of Abraham. There is a spirit of fatherlessness. And we know what happens when there's fatherlessness in the nation. Family breaks down. Bitter, hard people. Isn't that characteristic of Islam? But what every Muslim understands is love. If you talk in the spirit, don't go and preach to him. He will hit you back. You just move in the spirit. He cannot resist you. You know why? the human being... Oh, another one. Those great God stories. Okay, sorry, I shouldn't talk like that. Okay, you are a human being. There is a spirit. There is the soul. And there's the body, which is all your brain, your mind. Which part you think is the most linked to God? Exactly. Because the Bible says, God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in. And not just spirit. Spirit without truth is falsehood. Spirit without truth is worshiping the devil. Okay, spirit and truth, my friends. Okay. So, talk in the spirit. Move in the spirit. Get your inspiration in the spirit. Disseminate in the spirit. Perform in the spirit. Whatever in the spirit. Program in the spirit. If you're a programmer, as in a radio station programmer, I have some friends with that. Program in the spirit. The sequence matters. Those of you in engineering, critical path. Okay, you get the path wrong, you upset the whole project. Okay, I used to work in the oil refinery, I understand critical path, very important. Otherwise, hundreds or thousands of man hours can be undone because you did the wrong sequence. Same thing in heaven. That's why you must listen to God. Sometimes you get, God, I serve you. I go, 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 go. Then you know what God will tell you? Hello, son, you took the wrong turning. Now everybody has to wait for you. Have you ever been involved in a big army movement? Okay, I used to be involved in division exercises. And division, you're talking about actual division is 50,000 people. So a lot of people. My troops, I was gung-ho in those young days. I volunteered for commando. So we work in very small groups. My teams are 6 men. Okay, 15,000 enemy, very frightening. And we get contacted, it's very hard to survive. Yeah, I mean, 15,000 people. I mean, except God rescues you. But what I'm saying is you move in the spirit. Okay, that means you sense. God will tell you how to move. God will tell you how to speak, when to speak. Okay, and it's called the pinpoint position of God. The pinpoint position of God. So it's not just artistic creation or creativity. It is also timing and place. When you release, it makes a difference whether your album succeeds or not. Time and place. When you make a pitch, a project pitch, commercial project pitch, time and place is important. Alright, so these things, understand, begin to understand things in the spirit. It's not just about technical art and craft, because I think you guys are good. I said, I want to tell you guys, I feel very assured here, you know why? Because I am not a techie. So when you're a techie, I feel very assured that you can do all those things, I'm covered. A simple thing I had to ask Calvin, hey, how to set my phone to the Wi-Fi? I think you're laughing. What is this guy doing here? Why is he doing the arts thing, talking to arts people, techies? Okay, anyway, it doesn't matter. God is graceful, gracious. So, remember this thing about resonance of spirit with the Holy Spirit, the small s with a big s, and your spirit with the spirits of the people. All right, think of it this way. The spirit of the performers with the audience. Okay, place of humor. It's very hard to argue against a funny man. And some naughty people, after they do naughty things, they say, oh, I was only joking. Right? But you look in their eye, you know they are not joking. Okay, it doesn't wash with me. I know when they're joking and not. Okay. Just now, one of you mentioned, I didn't know what to do. I just want to thank God. And your video was about thankfulness. I thought it was great. Because why? We live in such a performance-driven world, we don't know how to be thankful. Correct or not? Good. It's expected. That's what my boss said to me. I was in Mobile. All right? So she said to me, Sam, if you do good, it's expected. You got to be excellent, outstanding. Then we got something to talk about. Huh? Really? Yeah? I tell you, it was quite disastrous. You know why? Because it affected the way I fathered my children. So good is not good enough. Nothing. So I don't praise them. It's not good. A bit late now. They're all late teens already going to adults. Now I'm trying to do the reverse. So if you haven't got that journey yet, please go and praise your children. Okay, but praise must be appropriate. Don't do wrong, do horrible things, still say very good. Okay, but if they did good, encourage them. All right? digital protection, content promotion. Now, this is something. I don't know what I was doing in this one. This one was digital protection. So these guys are really techies. Okay, what they do is using digital technology to protect the movies and films and what have you. So they're very high tech. They're talking about inbuilt security in the chip itself. This is a layer of techies you're talking about, okay? I don't know how I got invited to speak there. Okay, remember, this is a guy who asked Calvin how to set his Wi-Fi here. God is amazing, yeah? But they had this thing called a plug fest. Now, what a plug fest is that after everybody presents their technologies and their ideas, okay, then they go to a room. Okay, whoever is interested to plug in with who and test the technology and see whether it works, they go and plug. They have a lot of fun. And that generates a lot of R&D and a D rather than R. Because the R is done before that. The research is done before that. The development is done after that when they start plugging each other's technology together. So, let's go back to here. Can you plug in, have a plug fest of videos with design and motion graphics? Okay? You plug in and say, hey, I've got this new motion thing I want to try out. And you try and match somebody whose video genre and content and storylines are similar to demonstrate what you want. And you plug in and you see how it's like. I tell you, it's powerful. Okay, this God just told me just while I was sitting there listening to y'all. This chart was exactly produced just now while listening to y'all. It's a life conversation. That's the way you ought to be. You ought to be in a life, ongoing conversation with God, even while you're producing your stuff. Even while you're delivering your stuff. All right. If I didn't listen just now, I say I'm very tired, I'm thinking of my Jakarta trip later, I will miss this altogether. You see the point? Focus. Okay? I got a big assignment tomorrow. I got to do a crisis exercise in Jakarta. Okay? I haven't done everything yet, but God says flow with me. Okay? So you flow with God. There comes a point in your life when God will push you beyond your familiar boundaries, beyond your comfort zones, beyond your competencies, and God says flow. And when you flow, it's amazing. It's just amazing. Then only is divine. If you can manage it, what kind of divine is that? It's not signs and wonders. Oh, I got a miracle today. You know, the bus waited for me. Is that a miracle? Hello? You demoted God. What kind of God do you have? Where a bus waiting for you is called a miracle. That's not a miracle. If you dug water and it was pitched, dug a pond, like my friend in India, he dug a pond for water for his orphanage. Like no money to go and do pipe water. Duck, no water. And he prayed next morning full of water. That's called signs and wonders. But he went back to Washington, D.C. That's where he's based. I met him in Washington, D.C. But he doesn't see the same kinds of signs and wonders in Washington, D.C. So I asked God, why? Are you equal God in Washington and India? He said, yes. But you know why? They have too much science and technology. They don't need me. All right? So be careful. If you're already techie, fine. Use your techie to glorify God. Subject your technology to God. Then the signs and wonders will continue to flow. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah, and people asked Jesus for signs and wonders. He said, no sign will be done for you except that of Jonah and Sodom and Gomorrah because of your lack of faith. Maybe not lack of faith. Maybe it's an issue of lack of asking because you feel too self-sufficient. All right, so please do not let technology be your be all and end all. Your technology is your servant. It's not your sufficiency. Your God is your sufficiency. Your God is your source. Your God is your story. Your God is a main actor, your main story. Excuse me, I better move on. Otherwise, won't finish. Okay. Arts for celebration and healing. Okay, I have to run through quickly. I give you an example. This is actually a film called The Field of Dreams, directed by Phil Anderson Robinson. Kevin Costner was a star. It was based on a story called Shoeless Joe, which is actually a famous baseball player in the United States. Now, the farmer in the story, Ray, hears a voice telling him, if you build it, he will come. And he was asking him to build a baseball pitch in the corner of a cornfield, right in the middle of a cornfield, okay? And then eventually go start to come and play baseball with this guy. All right? And including the first person who came was actually this baseball legend, Ray Liotta, who came to play baseball with him. And then this guy, Ray, heard the word, ease his pain, the theme of healing. Right? The theme of healing. People from miles around came to see something extraordinary. And basically, what this Ray realized that this voice was asking him to use the baseball pitch as a play, as a means for people who have given up the opportunity to play baseball, their first love, to do something else. Like a doctor, Dr. Graham, who gave up baseball to be a doctor for the community. And this guy appeared as one of the as a ghost to go there and play. Can you see the creativity there is spinning? It has a story that is parallel to the Bible story of healing. But of course, we don't talk about ghosts. Okay, so you don't have to set a setting of ghosts. But can you see the artistic structure in which they have built the story? All right, so there are things we can learn from Hollywood. But you don't have to use their themes. Okay, money, sex, violence. Do you have to use their themes? You don't have to. But there are structures. There are artful ways of telling the story. There are ways of bringing tears to the eyes. You can bring more tears because you're moving the spirit. All right, so I'm just showing to you a lot of opportunities and possibilities for you. All right, I better move on. We're running out of time. Okay, this is a conversation in which the voice had with Ray, just saying that they will come. So I don't want to read the whole thing to you, but your audiences will come. Okay, the responses will come. The success will come if you will commit this as a venture with God. If you say, God, my gift is your instrument. I dedicate it to you. I assure you, you will bring the returns. The people will come. Okay, I'll give the soft copy. You can read it at your own time. Yeah. Okay, let's go back into the Bible. So some of you say, you were wondering whether you are called into this media ministry and whether you are in the right place. I tell you, you are in the right place. Okay, Exodus 10:9, it says, Moses answered, we will go with our young and old, and our sons and daughters, even our flocks and our. So you bring your dogs, chickens, goats, cows to church? You don't. But in this case, God was moving Israel, lock, stock, and barrel, out of Egypt to worship him. How do you worship God with your flocks and herds? Sacrifice, Can I kill already? Because we are here to celebrate a festival unto God. The slaves moving out of Egypt, they just out. The pain is still seared. The flesh is still searing from the whip. And it says, celebrate God. Sometimes we have to be like that, yeah? Still searing behind. And God says, celebrate me. Because I'm bringing you to your promised land. Celebrate me because I'm bringing you to your promised land. Exodus 12:46-48, it says, this is talking about Passover. That means the sacrifice, the meat that's sacrificed must be eaten inside the house. Take none of the meat inside the house. You know why? Because the spirit of the angels of God were coming with a plague to kill the firstborn of Egypt. Whoever comes out of the house will die, including the Israelites. So you eat this inside the house with your blood covering over the doorpost. The whole of community of Israel must celebrate it. So the theme of celebration must touch the whole community. So I'm not saying you, one person, one group must touch the whole community, but collectively you should be touching the whole community. So that, I think, should be the strategic mandate of LifeWire. That's commandeering all the groups in the sports, entertainment, arts mountain to touch the whole nation. That's your mandate. That's the level of engagement you should be talking about. I also get very impatient in my business men's group. They say, we are gatekeepers, gatekeepers. You only have lunch and talk to eminent people. That's called gatekeeping. No, gatekeeping means, like what I did yesterday, I spoke to a scholar who is writing legislation for the Singapore government. I said, I'm going to release the prophetic pen into you that when you write legislation, you prophesy into the nation's current and future situation. That is gatekeeping. Not having lunch with well-to-do people and very established people, hearing and inspiring and going back doing nothing. That is not gatekeeping. You are a gatekeeper. Because why? In the community where the people can be lax in their morals, suddenly you show the purity is a virtue. Suddenly you show purity has desirable consequences. Hey, that's different, yeah? You become a counterpoint, a counterforce, the prevailing forces in society that's dragging everybody down. In the midst of economic turbulence, you can sing peace, you can sing strength, you can sing security. Whoa, you are counter, all right? So mobilize the mainstream. Don't be the fringe. God never intended his children to be the fringe and stay at the fringe. You can start at the fringe, but remember, the fringe like the batch of the yeast. What happened? A small lot of yeast influences the whole batch of dough, and the Bible in NIV version says 60 pounds. It's a lot of dough. Have you ever handled 60 pounds of dough? It's a lot, okay? And it says it worked through the whole batch. Check your Bible. It jumped out at me one day. That's how my kingdom will work. The whole batch. We think that God works in bits and pieces and leaves gaps here and there. No, the dough takes time, given time, with the kingdom time, begins to work through the whole batch. And if you allow your art, your media, your content to be like that yeast, you are part of the batch of yeast that begin to work through the whole batch of dough. So collectively, let's see LifeWire coming together, mobilizing everybody to influence and work through the whole batch of dough in the nation of Malaysia, East and West. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Now go and do it. Okay. So, social media, other media, various arts forms and channels. So think. Once you get creative, I tell you, cows come home, haven't finished. Okay. So, inclusive celebration of peoples, community and nation. In Deuteronomy 14:16. Okay, next time your pastor say, are you sure what you're doing is godly? Please show them all these Bible verses. Okay. Okay, and I have one verse better still that would make a case for supporting you, you know. But unfortunately, the thing is very specific to one particular group. After you see. Deuteronomy 16:14-16 says, be joyful. Nehemiah says what? 8:10, is it 8:10? The joy of the Lord is my? Yeah. So if you are opposite or joyful, then it's your what? Okay. So I think, stoic is strength, you know, very strong, you know. I used to believe that. So gundu. Joy is your strength. Your sons, your daughters, your male, female servants, the Levites are foreigners. Tuesday, I was talking to a small group of people. Among them was an Indonesian pastor and an Indonesian businessman. The businessman is here. He owns a printing press. You know what he's doing? He wants to print tracts and literature to reach out to the 4 million Indonesian immigrants in Malaysia. That's legal. And the 10 million illegal Indonesian immigrants. 14 million, half your population, sitting in your shores. So some of you may say, I want to reach these people. All right? Foreigners, fatherless, widows, okay? For 7 days. Wow, you think 1 hour very good. This guy celebrates 7 days, okay? In the time of Nehemiah or Ezra, I can't remember, Hezekiah. They celebrated 7 days and they extended another 7 days. Oh, these people can celebrate. All right? So, to the Lord your God, at the place the Lord will choose. I think this is powerful. Because God wants to soak His presence in a city and a nation. So when He says, I want you to go there, there's a purpose for it. There's a principality He wants to deal with. You cannot see it. But you don't realize that your prophetic song is going there to war, and we declare and sing those things, you are deploying the angels there. Whoa, that's different, yeah? So if God gives you a so-called crazy idea and do it in some crazy place, you go and do your research, okay? Find out the ground. You may be surprised you can actually do it there. Okay, but will you be like Gideon? Frightened as he was, he went to check out the enemy camp. Right or not? He was afraid. Then God says, you're afraid, bring your servant with you. Bring your friend with you. So bring your friend with you lah. Just don't bring a Muslim. Or maybe you need a Muslim to go in quietly. But you don't tell him the reason. And you ask him the Muslim perspective. Whoa, this is called counterintelligence. I like this. Okay, the Lord will bless you. In what? In all your harvest. He didn't say some of harvest. Not when the Lord feels like it. Nah. He says in all your harvest. And in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. This is what God has promised. All right? Okay, so you go to verse 16 in Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times a year your men must come up here. Now, I'm not going to make this a golden rule. But I suggest at a national level somewhere, somehow, at three times a year at different points, different groups go and occupy different places. I think there is something very powerful behind that. Okay, God, this was God's design to soak His beloved nation Israel with His presence. You take the same formula, apply it to Malaysia, it will change Malaysia. That's something that you in the worship, okay, in arts is also about worship, yeah? That's something that the worshippers can do that the preachers cannot do. You can go ahead and sing, what? And then if you don't sing English, then okay, like, just sing in the spirit, nobody can declare. Oh, we're blessing Malaysia, you know, we're singing for the leaders. You know, but he didn't say singing for justice and righteousness. And then Malaysia changed. Politician cannot go there and talk. The pastor cannot go there and preach, but you can go there and sing. You can go there and beat your drum. Blum, 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 blum. It is warfare, you know. Hey, you have access that a lot of people don't have. Can you see that? Can you see that in your hands? What is in your hand? Where are the places you can go? Can you see that? Now will you do that? Okay, so let's move on. I'm going to finish. I promise to finish. 2 Chronicles 30:4-6, yeah? I love this. The plan seemed right to who? The pastor? None less than the king. The top man in the land. And the whole assembly. So which means what? Your celebration must touch the kings of the land. I don't know. Maybe one day God give you access to the sultan. Okay? The agong. I don't know. When God's favor moves, you'll be amazed. All right? To the prime minister, to the ministers, to the assemblymen of the states, of the districts, whatever you have, to the kings. Remember, you're a royal priesthood. Royal. Not a forgotten, discriminated, left behind priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. So royal priesthood access to king. Okay, royal priesthood. So, seemed right to the king. So, my prophecy to Juniana is that she will speak into the ministers, speak into policies of culture and arts in the nation. Hallelujah. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. We're going to see you on TV, yeah? I see some of you backing up. All the people carrying the paper, everything. Huh? No, just kidding. Okay. Celebrated in large numbers. God will show up where two or three are gathered in His name, but He's glorified when there are large numbers, because then more of His creation can glorify Him, isn't it? You hold party, you want 3 people to come or not? Or you want 50 or 100 to come? God's the same, isn't it? God loves us so much, He created us to have fellowship with Him. He could have had His whole eternity with just Jesus, Him, and the Holy Spirit, and the angels. But He loves company so much, He created us to be His company. Unfortunately, this company wasn't very faithful. So when this company comes back and worship Him, hallelujah, God is very happy. Just like your party, a lot of people show up. Okay, if you invite people, they don't come and go to somebody else's party, you'll be very sad, right? Sometimes we do that to God, isn't it? Sorry, God, I can't go because I've got another party. So can you please come into God's party. Invite people to God's party with your art. In Ezra 6, 21, 22, it says, they separated themselves from the unclean practices, though there is purity involved. If you want to have power in the Spirit, you have to set yourself apart in God. Then the Spirit flows unhindered. It doesn't mean God cannot use people who have faults. He can. But if you are, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about constantly repenting, putting ourselves before God and coming right with Him again. Okay? If you make a mistake, never mind. Come back to God and in order to seek the Lord. So the art is about seeking God. Okay, you start by seeking God. When you perform, you are actually seeking Him indirectly. Okay? You are seeking His glory. So much so that it changed the attitude of the... Who is that? Is he friend or foe? Okay, but when you worship God to such a powerful extent, even your foe begin to support your work, and you see a king of Assyria assisted them in the work of the house. Do you know historically the Assyrians are such merciless people? They are worse than the Babylonians. Why did 10.5 tribes of Israel disappear? The two kingdoms, Israel and Judah, all right? Now, Israel was worse than Judah in terms of apostasy, falling away from God. So God brought judgment, and the judgment instrument was Assyria. Assyrians were merciless. What they'll do is they take you, transport you to another country or other countries, force you to intermarry the people there so you become diluted as a people. And when that happens, nationalistic fervor comes down. So the Zionism dies because you have a mixed race of Samaritans. They are such merciless people, and yet God is able to turn the king of Assyria's heart when God was worshipped. Okay, you want to change things? Promote worship of God with your art. All right, assisted them. Not didn't stop them. He said assisted them. Okay? So, you prepare your ground, prepare your art to the point of excellence. It speaks with such power and authority, people will come looking for you. Okay, I got one more chart, I think, and that's the end. I want to share this story because I came back from Jerusalem, and there's this lady who told me that she has aspirations to be a politician one day. So there's a group of them, so I'm following up with them, guiding them what to do, how to prepare. And she was invited to be a keynote speaker of a corporate social responsibility forum in Denmark, Copenhagen. She's new to CSR. And she said, Sam, I need help. I don't know what to say. So I prepared a few charts for her, gave it to her. And then I said, by the way, you comfortable delivering before the audience? Can I Skype you? So I Skyped her, coached her just about an hour. And she went to deliver. And you know what? The corporate heads came and say, these are not newbies to CSR. They are quite experienced. Like, hey, it's very good. They're new things we never learned before. Okay, and we talk about... a few things, and one of them was about spiritual capital. Where is my pen? Or disappear? That's my problem. I get excited, I forget where my pens are. But the good thing my pens are still on. Okay, where's my pen? Where? Music stand. Ah, okay. That's my human trait. You see, that's the funny thing is God allows this to stay with us so that He can be glorified in us. Okay, yes, the capital. One of the charts to talk about the four kinds of capital in the society, and social, political, economic. So we're saying that in a country, there are four kinds of capital, but a lot of governments focus on economic. Barisan National focuses more on political. Okay? They neglect this part. Right? And worse is this one. And you know what? We say this can be an area that you can work in corporate social responsibility. And the Nova Nordisk of the world, these are the huge MNCs in Denmark, say, can you come and tell us more about spiritual capital? Would you expect that? I don't. I've been working the corporate line for so long. I work with Exxon Mobil. I work with Asia Pacific breweries. We go to different countries. We talk to the corporate bigwigs. They never want to talk about spiritual capital today. Oh, this guy's not even a believer. He says, can you tell me a follow-up session on spiritual capital? Hallelujah. I am praying God open the door for me to go to Denmark and tell the story. I want to get business, but I want to tell the story more importantly. Okay, so you have spiritual capital. When you start building, you're building spiritual capital. So I know time is up, so I've got to finish. Okay, last one, yeah? Last one. Okay, all right. Okay, this is encouragement to you. In the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, all Israel contributed the daily portions for the musicians. Hallelujah. Okay. I hope your pastors will catch this vision and begin to see that you are an extended part of the worship team, except that you are extending outside the church boundaries. Isn't that what all evangelism is all about? Can you put it across to your pastor that way and say, we are your extended reach for evangelism? Use the word magic word evangelism. You don't use the word sorry, huh? No support. You can't use some magic word. People are human beings after all, okay? You try, okay? If it doesn't work, it's okay because God will provide some other means. But what I'm saying to you is that there ought to be a place for this. But sometimes people cannot see certain things, they don't accept it. But if you start from a position which you say, I have a rightful place in the provisions of God, whether you get it from church or you get it from the corporate, so be it, but you claim your rightful place so that the enemy, the devil, cannot come to steal, kill, and destroy. Alright? The devil will come and steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes that you might have life and have it. That you might have art and have it. Okay, can you say that again? Jesus comes that you might have art and have it. Hallelujah, your art, abundance in your art. Not just life includes art, isn't it? Right? So, abundance for your art. Okay, I think we have to finish soon. Can we call the worship team up? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. All right. Okay.
It's a bit more informal, but
sure, we can do that.
And then maybe the music can just play the guitar outside.
Okay,
because
fine.
We really need to vacate the place.
Boleh.
Okay, so you hear me, huh?